Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tongues of fire. Well, the Feast of Pentecost is upon us, the 50th day of the Easter season, the 8th day beyond the 7 weeks of 7 days. And really, it's a culmination of the joyous, uninterrupted feast of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we're in right now. In the church year, you could say, it's the end of the beginning, the celebration of the risen Christ among his people. You could also say it's the beginning of the end, in that it's the church's ongoing life in the Holy Spirit with the hope of the coming day, of the day of the Lord, the last day, the beginning of the end. On this day, the Holy Spirit was poured out with the hope of the resurrection. That was what was poured out on the disciples that day and on the church. You see, all the disciples were gathered in Jerusalem for the feast of weeks, they called it, the seven weeks. And it was a harvest feast, bringing in the new wine that the new grapes for the new wine, I guess, that you heard about. And the first fruits of the harvest, of the wheat harvest. And really, that's what the beginning of the church is about. The beginning of the harvest of God's harvest of human souls that are going to be saved. That's what we're involved in. That's what the mission of the church is. That's what he begins on this day. As Jesus told the apostles, if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The Spirit of the Lord will declare truth to you. Taking what belongs to Jesus and declaring it to you, the church. What are those things that belong to Jesus? Well, they are his resurrected life. They are his victory over sin and death. Victory over the power of the devil who plagues you every day. Eternal life. Forgiveness. These are the gifts that Christ brings to you through the Holy Spirit. Now, on the day that Christ ascended into heaven, he didn't leave us alone. He sent us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shows up as tongues of fire and this mighty, this sound like a violent hurricane, really, in Jerusalem. That's what the disciples heard. That's what the people of Jerusalem heard. What's going on, they said. They heard people speaking to them in their own native language, even though they were from far away, all parts of the Roman Empire at the time. Tongues of fire, languages of the world, speaking the mighty saving deeds of God. Why did all this happen at a Jewish festival? Why weren't they just speaking in Hebrew? The interesting thing about this passage, to me, one of the interesting things about this passage, is that at this festival of weeks, when the farmers were bringing their grain offerings, they would give it to the priest. If we had the acolyte here, they'd give it to the acolyte, and the acolyte would give it to the priest. And then before the priest would take the grain offering in, the farmer was supposed to say, in Hebrew, I was a wandering Aramean. My father was a wandering Aramean. Who's that? Abraham. Okay? You're supposed to speak this, it's like six or 10 verses out of Deuteronomy. I should have looked it up. 10 verses, I think, out of Deuteronomy, all in Hebrew. Well, in Jesus' day, by the time it got down to Jesus after the exile in Babylon and stuff, not everybody spoke Hebrew anymore. They spoke Aramaic. And some spoke some Greek because of the Alexander the Greek and all that. But the point is, they didn't speak English anymore. So the priest would have to help them speak Hebrew so they could fulfill their obligation of bringing the offering. Now, I'm not going to make you speak Hebrew today. But the point here is, the amazing thing where they're speaking in the languages of the people know what's going on. And this language of Hebrew is not the only language that you can approach God with now. You see, all of salvation has been opened to Gentiles. That's us. People who don't speak Hebrew. People who have now a priest who goes for them and comes to you in Jesus Christ. We're not separated from God anymore. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, as Peter says. That's you and me. We are grafted in to the new Israel. That's the new church. That's us. And he says, Peter says, quoting Joel, the prophet Joel. And you see what Peter does here. He comes before the people and he quotes Scripture. He quotes the prophet Joel. Not exactly, very close, but he's not reciting a memory verse to them. He's speaking to them and saying, this is what the prophet Joel said. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh, declares the Lord. That's today. That's what Peter says. That's today. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Everyone will prophesy. And what is prophesying? Speaking the word of God. It's not just foretelling the future. It's speaking the word of God. And here Peter speaks the word of God, quoting from the prophet Joel. He's saying, this is what God said, and this is what it means for us here today. And that Holy Spirit is poured out on you in your baptism. That tongue of fire is upon you. It is within you. You say, Pastor, I don't know what to say sometimes. Sometimes when in my life there are people who need to know Jesus, I know that, and I just don't know what to say. Speak the Word of God to them. And you say, well, which Word of God? Gosh, the Bible's pretty long. Yes, it is. Any Word of God that comes to you, because that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, saying, this is what this person needs to hear. Your favorite, your confirmation verse maybe. Your favorite verse. A verse that you heard here today. How does this apply to us here today? How does this apply to a person who is hurting? Maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe they're facing surgery. Maybe they've just gotten out of surgery. What word of comfort do you have for this person today from the Lord? That's what prophesying is. And Peter says, this has come true now. Even your servants, even your male servants and your female servants, even them, they're going to prophesy and speak the word of God to people. That's how it's going to be poured out on all flesh. That's the exciting thing for us as a congregation, as a church. That's the exciting thing for Holy Cross. How do we do that? With whom do we share that? Yes, individually, the people in our lives, the people that God places before us, the people who are on your heart, who you know need the Word of God, who you know need to know who Jesus is and what He has done for you. Yes, that's individually. But collectively, as a congregation, collectively, as this people of God, here and now in Clarence, that's what we're going to look at in this visioning process that Scott and Dave described. How is that tongue of fire leading us collectively, together, founded on the Word of God, to do the work of the church here? Now, if you notice from that long reading that Sarah gave us on from Acts 2, 21 verses, there's nothing in this text that Peter exhorts the people to do. Maybe you'll hear more about it next week. There's no instructions that he says, okay, do this. Although pretty soon, next week he'll say, repent and be baptized. But he doesn't say to the church, do this. All of you who believe now, do this right now. They didn't have the vision or the mission fully understood. What they were supposed to do there in Jerusalem that day. And I guess that's kind of perfect for us as we're kicking off our visioning process. But we do know what to do. We're not to do nothing. We're to listen to what God's Word says to us. So why are we going to start with the foundation in God's Word? What does God's Word say to us? We're going to pray. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit leads us. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit gives us enough humility to say, this isn't about me. This is about Christ and what Christ is doing here in our midst with the people that we know, the people that we come across to as a congregation. We pray that the Lord will give us wisdom. Wisdom that comes from fearing God. Not wisdom that comes from anywhere else in this world. God's wisdom. We're going to look around us at the world, just like Peter did, and say, this is how the Word of God applies to this world, right here, right now. How does this Word of God point to Jesus Christ and what He has done for us to save us? And then we're going to dream some dreams. We're going to pray about those. That those will be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. That His will may be done among us as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. That we're reminded. We are reminded that the mighty works here are not the mighty works Pastor Nickel or the elders. They're not the mighty works of Holy Cross Lutheran Church. They are the mighty works of God, founded in His saving deeds for humanity. That's what we're grafted into. That's what we're given a part of. That's our vision and our mission. So we pray that Moses' wish will come true. Would that all of the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. May that be our prayer. The Holy Spirit may work among us to bring others to Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.